be in, let's go to John 14 again. Let not your heart be troubled. Number 5. Let not your heart be troubled. I want to remind you, if you raised your hand on Sunday, about spending a prayer time with God every day this week. If you got to make sure you do that. So I hope you've been doing that. If you haven't, just start today. Make sure you do that. A lot of people said at least 20 minutes they'll take with God every day. And that alone personal prayer time. And so I hope you've been doing that. And if you've been doing that, and God's blessed you with it, just let me know that. That'll be exciting to hear. John 14. Couldn't think of a good pithy title for this. So I came up with, we can still be plugged into the source. We can still be plugged into the source. Last week we talked about one of the reasons that their hearts didn't need to be troubled is because God was going to send the Holy Spirit. God was going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was going to do some things for us when he took Jesus' place. Remember, I talked about the Father and Jesus would be there and the Holy Spirit would be there. And they were one and they just kept going back and forth in that. Anybody remember what the Holy Spirit would do for us when he came? Anybody remember? Matthew? Comfort, good. Anybody else? Teach us, good. Anybody else? Abide in us. Okay. Anybody else? Talking about the Holy Spirit. Those are good. Those are a few good ones. Very good. He'll help us win souls. He teaches us the scripture. Other things. So, good. All right, verse 25. These things, this is John 14, 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So there it is again. Let not your heart be troubled again. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. But if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go into my unto the Father. For the Father is greater than I. But now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Let's pray. Lord, speak now through the word. Speak to us through me, Father. That's a hard thing to do, Father, and an amazing thing that you can use someone like me, Lord. I don't ask you to bless because I'm so worthy, because I've done something so well, Father. I just know you want to help your people and be a blessing, Father, and I pray you just work tonight and help us to understand another way in which our hearts don't need to be troubled and another way to be a good Christian. Please, Lord, speak to us. Make this message anointed by your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 27, Jesus says, you don't need to let your heart be troubled. And he gives us another one we haven't mentioned. We've mentioned many of them so far through this chapter. But he says, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See right here why Jesus says you don't need to have trouble? Why you can have, let not your heart be troubled? Why here? He's leaving peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. And so the peace of Jesus, he lives with you. And if you just look at Jesus' life, there was an amazing peace there. There was an amazing peace when the storm was going and the waves were blowing and he was just sleeping in the ship. There was a peace when 5,000, 10,000 people were out there needing to be fed. They didn't have any food. There is a peace there when they were going to put him on a cross and crucify him. He says, my peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, I give my peace unto you. You know how you guys are all worried in the storm? You know how you're all panicked? I'm giving you what I had now. I'm going to give you my peace now. Now he says, he qualifies it. He says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And I want to say, the peace the world gives is not the peace of God. God's peace is very qualified. It's a different kind of peace. For example, it passes understanding. And a lot of pop psychology has crept into Christianity, and a lot of secular methods of trying to calm yourself and get peace. Can I tell you, there are some decent methods that are non-toxic, that are simple things, all the way down to 50-year-old things like counting to 10 when you're angry. I understand there's little methods like that. You can learn to take deep breaths, and you can learn to ways to avoid stress. But I'm going to tell you, you need the peace of God, which is different than the peace the world gives. I would never want to go to a secular psychiatrist because it's messing with your mind. It's messing with your mind. It's and your thoughts are very sacred to God. And there's a different kind of peace that comes from God. And he says, my peace give I unto you. And it's not, okay, I'm gonna pump myself up, or I'm going to make myself think positive thoughts and listen to a certain kind of music and kind of calm myself through meditating and yoga. And so it's not the world's kind of trying to calm you down. It's not sedation. It's not Eastern mysticism mixed in with it. It's the peace that Jesus gives. And it's different. It's different. And we need the peace of God that passes understanding. And Jesus had that great peace. And so he says, I want to give you my peace. It's not as the world gives. So don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because I'm giving you my peace. Forward a little bit, and we're not going to read all the verses on peace, but chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, all these things I've said, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he says, I'm going to give you my peace. And you know, there are biblical methods. God says how to get peace. Philippians 4 talks about how to get peace and other spots in the scriptures. But if you'll just practice, the Bible says, be full of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Abide in Christ, you get peace. And pray about everything, and you get peace. And there's different ways to get peace, but I want to say the peace of God keeps your heart and mind. It's God's peace, and we need that. And Jesus says, you don't need to let your heart be troubled, because I'm going to give you the peace that I have. It's the peace of Jesus Christ. It's a supernatural peace. It is not anything this world can explain or understand. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. It's not the same peace. In an interview, I thought a pretty fascinating statement with Tim Tebow, who's a Christian. One of the things they said to him, they said, do you believe God helps you win football games? Because when he started, they won a lot of games they shouldn't have won. And he's really not a very good football player, but somehow his team kind of wins. And they said, do you think God is helping you win football games? And he said, no, I don't think God is that interested in who wins a football game. But I do think God gives me peace so I can perform better in the middle of it. And I think that's maybe a better way to look at it. And God can give you peace. And in all life circumstances, quit seeking perfect circumstances before your soul is at rest. You'll be seeking for a long time. And just look at the peace of Jesus. Verse 28 and 29, we've covered a lot of this stuff already. But you've heard I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you'd rejoice, because I said I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. He says, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to make intercession for you. And of course, Jesus said he's equal with the Father. It's speaking as the God-man. He's going to go, and the Father's going to listen to him and answer his prayer. We say that he was equal with God, the Bible says, and made himself equal with God. But in his humanity, which he put himself into the flesh, he says, as soon as I strip off this humanity, And I will be the Father, and the Father can do things that I can't even do now. But when I go to the Father, I can talk to the Father for you, and you will have all kinds of miracles, because I'll be interceding for you. Verse 29, now I've told you before, come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Interesting verse there. It's kind of a, Jesus says, all right, I'm not going to talk a whole bunch more now until my death. Remember, he's nearing the end of his life. He says, because Satan's going to come and attack me. Satan's coming. Well, Judas is going to be indwelt by Satan himself. And he says, but he doesn't have anything on me. So I'm not going to say very much, because he has nothing right now. And so I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to talk a whole bunch. I think in Proverbs 10:19 it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Or in other words, there's no shortage of sin. One of the most common sins we have is our words. And the best way to limit your sin in your words is not say a whole bunch. In the multitude of words. And I'm not saying don't say anything. There's times to say something. Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And so it's good words are like refreshing water. It's this paraphrase of it. And good news from a far country and different things are all, words are a blessing and edifying. But simply put, we say too much. And the Bible says that we're going to give an account for every idle word. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Let me read you another verse in Proverbs about the words. You want to talk about words, just look at Proverbs. It says a lot about them. But this is Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding hath an excellent spirit. So Jesus said, I'm not going to talk a whole bunch with you at this point. And I found myself where a conversation, I'm kind of getting foolish in my talking, or maybe I'm getting edgy and stuff, or maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. You know, I always find out the best thing to do is clamp it. Stop talking. Well, I gotta talk my way out of this. You know, it usually doesn't work that way. Usually you talk yourself into worse. You know what you should just say sometimes? You know what? I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm just going to shut up. I'm just going to quit talking. And the Bible says if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. It's very powerful. And so he said, I'm not going to say a whole bunch. Satan has nothing in me. He's going to attack me. And the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. So I'm not going to say a whole bunch. And so let's be careful. Even Jesus was. Verse 31, but the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father that gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. A couple of things out of this verse 31, that are neat things at the end of the chapter here. He says, I want to show the world that I love the Lord, that the world may know that I love the Father. And I want to, one of the things that, boy, the hyper-emotional Christians out there who say they love Jesus so much, but they live like the world and the devil. And boy, they talk and just say, oh, I love Jesus with all my heart. Listen, Jesus said, the world will know that I love Jesus, that he gave me commandment and I go and do it. That's what Jesus says. Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. It's very true. You need to just do what God says. Don't be showy with your words. But he says, I want them to see that I love the Father. There's nothing wrong with being noticed that you're doing the right thing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with bowing your head and praying for your meal. Let everybody see you're a Christian. Nothing wrong with you praising the Lord. Nothing wrong with you doing anything the world sees if you're not doing it to be seen of men. Jesus said, I want them to know, everybody in the world here to watch and see that I love the Father because he's going to give me commandment and I'm going to go do it. Obedience seen is fine. If you're doing it to be seen of men, it's not right. But if men see your good works, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's good for them to see your good works. You just don't do it if you're doing it so you can say, look how spiritual I am, then you have your reward. You're not supposed to do that. And so, first of all, he says, I want them to see that. And you do that. And secondly, he says, I'm going to obey now. Even as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He's not wasting time in obedience. And that's such a thing I found in my own life in being a good Christian. And when I do right, what I do is I don't think about it for a whole long time. I just don't. You know, you ever have a job to do and you know you're going to have to do it? You just talk yourself into thinking about it. And you sit there. And you know it's got to be done, but you just think about it and think about it. Listen, it is such a waste of time. You know how much better you feel when you just get up and do it? And Jesus says, hey, he's giving me a commandment. Let's go do it. And if every Christian who is going to be a good Christian some day would be a good Christian right now and just give them what God's already given them to do. Just obey what God's already given you as commandment and just do that. Jesus says, let's go. Jesus, God gave me a commandment. I'm going to go do it right now. Let's go. Arise, let's go. And so he has that instant obedience, I think, so important as a Christian. Someone once said the time spent between the time of knowing what is right to do and the doing of what is right is time spent justifying the doing of wrong. And don't do that. When you know what to do it, and I just find that in general in life, I find that things need to be done instead of thinking about them. Doesn't get a whole bunch done. Just get up and do it. Then later you'll have time to rest. But just if you know you need to do something, don't say, I'm going to do that sometime this week. If you're not doing anything vital right then, if you're not doing something important, spending time with your family or something, just get up and do what you need to do. You know what I like doing in my week? I like to get in everything I need to do done at the start of the week. I like loading up the front of my week. Just get everything done I need to get done. Because things always come up later in the week or it was took longer than I thought. And then, you know, I have time at the end of the week to do things that don't have to be done, but I'd like to do. And so he obeyed instantly. Then I want to go to chapter 15 here, because I think this is very encouraging to us to let not our hearts be troubled. And he talks about the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you're the branches. And so chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I want to talk a couple things. He is telling them at this point, it's so good. I just was thinking about this today. It's so good because Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled because the source of your spirituality and the blessing is still there. In other words, what's making you guys holy and what's making your life change and what's making you do miracles and what's making you have peace is still all going to be there. Because I am that. Just a few thoughts. Number one, plug into me and you will have fruit. Jesus says, plug into me and you'll have fruit. He's not, see, if the disciples had to say, we've got to have high character now and be a really disciplined person and just be really strong and do this and that, they're in trouble. They're resisting Satan, who's more powerful than them. Their own flesh is going to drag them away. They're going to say Jesus isn't there to do the miracles and stuff. Wait a minute. Jesus says, if you're plugged into me, you still have my life flowing into you. I am the vine, you're the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bringeth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch, that's you and me, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. He says, don't let your heart be troubled because I'm still with you. Plug into me and you will have fruit. Listen, verse 5, of course, it says, for without me, you can do nothing. Did you know that you could have the perfect discipline and the perfect worth ethic and the perfect upbringing and all the diligence and hard work and character in the entire world and not be spiritual? And you can't bear fruit except from Jesus Christ. Understand, fruit is not stopping sinning. Fruit is not a lack of something. It is a production of something. Okay? And so the stuff that shouldn't be there, the Father prunes it out of us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he says the fruit that brings forth, and the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. There's many fruits in the Bible. But he says, if you'll plug into me, abide in me. I am the vine, the root and the stalk that comes out of the ground. You're the branches, and if you plug into me through the vine, into you will flow life that'll bring forth fruit. I'm right now shopping I bought a couple of them for some more fruit trees in our yard. And I have an orchard in my yard. And this year, some wonderful goats decided to go and step on my wonderful fruit trees and eat all the bark off them. And so I have to buy 4 new fruit trees. And we get to eat goat soon. But they did that to me. And so as I'm buying these things, one of the cool things you can buy, and I bought one of them, is I bought a 4-way Asian pear. And you can buy 4 or 5-way or 3-way apple trees. And what it is they take a branch off a Fuji apple and a branch off a Golden Delicious apple and a branch off a Braeburn apple. And they put it all into the stem and stalk of whatever, a Granny Smith apple. but each branch produces their own fruit, but they all get it from the life of the tree itself, and they graft it in, and they all grow their apples from that, and the branches are put in. But guess what? If you take that branch by itself and just lay it aside, it didn't do anything. It gets its life from the base of the tree, from what pulls the life out of the ground. Jesus is that vine. We abide in him. We stay plugged into him. And the life of Jesus Christ flows out in us, and it's fruitful. It's fruitful. And it happens when you do that. You see, it brings forth much fruit. We see also in that the Father maintains and prunes. Verse 1, I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The branch is gone. Not saved. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That means he clips it back, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's cleaning up in your life. But cleaning up in your life is not what bears fruit. You have a big, long branch, and it's got a bunch of little branches coming off it, and it says, you know what? It needs to have the fruit here, and you cut it way back and get rid of the stuff that isn't going to matter, the waste of the life going into that, going way towards the end of the branch, and these apples at the start, where they could be taking all that life and getting bigger and bigger and healthier. A lot of the life is flowing out at the end of the tree, that into things that don't matter. Just branch out there to grow more and more so the branch can keep expanding, but it's not going to the fruit. So you prune back a tree and you get better fruit. And I want to say, the things in our life that, anything from sin to things that are just useless, when you began bearing fruit in Christ, he begins cutting things out because they're just a waste and he wants fruit. And so the Father cleans you up and Jesus brings forth the fruit in your life. Notice those are both works of God. It's not they're saying, disciples, you better do good while I'm gone. He's saying, you know what, guys? Let not your heart be troubled. I'm the vine. Abide in me. The Father will prune you so you can bring forth much fruit, and I will bring forth fruit in your life if you abide in me. And you see that. This, you can still have the life of God in you. I'm going to read you an amazing verse. It's one of the most amazing verses I know of. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. Amazing verse. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That is such an amazing phrase. You're a partaker of the divine nature. Think about that. You partake of God's divine nature. It's in you. It's so amazing. Well, of course you are. You're the branch that is plugged in to this non-living tree. And you are plugged in, and the base of the tree is divine. Kids, don't ever do this. You're plugged in to divinity, and what happens when those little branches go into that tree? They get what's in the tree. And you get God's nature, you get God's life in you. No wonder we produce such amazing fruit as unconditional agape love and holiness and godliness and long-suffering, and things you never know you could do. Well, you can't. Without him, you can do nothing. A vibrant spiritual life, spiritual gifts. Can I tell you, one of the best things to do as a Christian is stop trying to be a good Christian and start abiding in Christ. Stop trying to be strong enough and good enough. Your effort goes into abiding in Christ. And how do you abide in Christ? We'll go back to John 15 real quick. He tells us that because Jesus knows we need to know how to do that. Just abide. First of all, just abide in him. That means remain. The word means remain. Verse 4, abide in me. End of verse 4, except ye abide in me. Verse 6, except ye abide. Or if any man abide not in me. Verse 7, abide in me. First of all, abiding means you just remain in him. And I think praying without ceasing. I think, I'm not talking just, we all know we're not supposed to just Sunday is God and the rest of the week is world. But I mean all day. You're in Christ. All day you're spending time with God. All day you're praying. You're saying, "Hey, God," and all day you're not separated from God. You don't backslide for periods of time. You spend time with God in personal alone prayer, but then you're just remaining there in Christ, in His will, not separated by sin, not by disobedience, but just constantly staying close to Him, just being around Him. Some couples I've seen, as they get older and life changes around a little bit, one of the things they get to do that's really great is they are around each other all the time. They remain together all the time. Some people like that with their dog or their cat. You ever seen the person who thinks that they can't be separated from the dog or cat? They take them in the store. They take them everywhere with them. And they take them in the car. And they won't. Why? They abide with them all the time. You be that with God. Take God with you everywhere. Remain in Him all day long. He says two things. First of all, abide in Him in that way, just in a relationship and in prayer and in contact and in His will and not wandering from Him, drawing near to Him. But verse 7, that's the first one, abide in me. And second part is my words abide in you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. That's, of course, the Bible. Meditate therein day and night. You through prayer and Bible and staying close to God throughout the day. I just tell you, fruit comes out. And your effort. Now, I'm not saying don't put effort in the Christian life. Just lay around and be lazy and God will do something. No. But your effort and your diligence should be in making sure you spend time in Christ. Make sure you pray. Make sure you spend time in the Bible. Make sure you live in obedience and follow when He says something to do, something. You live in obedience. And just be real close to Jesus and watch how fruit comes out. And that can, He says, even though I'm leaving, guys, you can still stay plugged into me and you'll have all the fruit you need. And everything will be there. Just abide in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you have all you need for victory. You have all you need for victory. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have me. Abide in me and you can have the same fruit you've had. No, I don't need to lay my hands on you every single time. No, you don't need to be sitting with me at meals at night. No, you just stay close to me and you will have all that power, all the fruit, all the greats, all the grace, all the miracles, all the strength, all the godliness, all the holiness. Ye will have the blessings if you abide in me. So men, disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Because I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you don't abide in me, you'll do nothing. But if you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit and God will be glorified. So don't let your heart be troubled. It's just fine out there. There'll be trouble, yes, but just abide in me and you'll get peace and you'll get my fruit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the passage here and thank you that we can see just more reasons why let not your heart be troubled. And Lord, I pray that we would abide in you and I pray that we would understand that your peace supersedes all the world throws. I pray we just live in close walk and obedience, making the Lord our God, spending time in Him and in His Word. Father, you're the vine. Actually, you're the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. And Father, we've got to make sure that nothing separates us from you. Nothing pulls us out of being in you, that we don't spend days not mindful of you and praying without ceasing and doing your will and drawing nigh to you, spending time in your word. Help us, Lord. Help us if we're weak and we don't think we can be a good Christian because we're so weak. Help us to do the easy way, to just make sure we stay close to you and let you prune us and bring forth fruit in our life. Please, Lord, help us to do these things. And thank you that our hearts don't need to be troubled today in the same way they did in 2,000 years ago. Thank you for these wonderful truths. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I just